Okay, so we are holding on Tzedek Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. The last thing we were talking about in the Gemara was the question if something changes about a chotzer. Good morning, Ellie. If something changes about a chotzer during Shabbos, the case we had was. In our Mishnah, we mentioned a case where you have a large chotzer next to a small chotzer, large, again, being defined as it sticks out on both sides of the small one, so it's shaped like a T, and nifritza, it was broken between them. So we said the large one is mutter to carry, the small one is not. So we were discussing the question, does that mean that it was broken open before Shabbos or that it was broken on Shabbos? So the last thing the Gemara had said was that according to Rabbah, at least according to what Rabbah had asked Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, where they answered Shabbos, Kivin Shahutra Hutra, that once it's mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains mutter for the whole Shabbos, then we have to say that it's talking about where it was broken. You have to say that it was broken before Shabbos, because if it was broken on Shabbos, then it wouldn't change the status. They'd still be allowed to carry each in their respective chotzer. So now we're going to have more discussion about that, and the next Mishnah also is going to deal with that matter. Mishnah says, and the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom of Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, Itmar, Koisel Sheben Shtei Chatzeres, if there is like that, a wall between two Chatzeres, Shenofal, and it fell down on Shabbos. Rav Omer Ein Metaltlin by Ela B'dalad Amos. Rav says that now you're only going to be able to carry four Amos in any one Chotzer. In other words, Rav disagrees with what we just said, that Shabbos Kivin Shehutra Hutra. So therefore, in effect, you have one big Chotzer over here where they didn't all make an Eruv together. You had half of them made an Eruv and half of them made a different Eruv, and that's no good. In fact, Rashi says it's even worse than one chotzer. At least when there was one chotzer and they didn't make an eruv, we learned before Rav would say that if you didn't make an eruv, you are allowed to carry, according to Reb Shimon, you are allowed to carry things all around the chotzer. Actually, according to everybody, we said you are allowed to carry things all around the chotzer. You're just not allowed to carry them back and forth into the house, in or out of the houses, or into another chotzer. But we learned a few days ago that Rav had said that if the one chotzer did make their own eruv, and now then he said you can't carry things between it and the next chotzer, even though kol chatzer is rishus achas, as we learned at the beginning of the perek, because then you may confuse them with kalim that were carried out of the houses, that were in the houses at the beginning of Shabbos. So here each one made their own eruv, and therefore he says now that the wall between them fell down, now there are two chatzeres, that's one completely open to the other one, and now therefore you can't carry in either one more than four amos. In effect, both of them have become a kaimelus. Although according to Tosfos, we don't have to say that Rav is talking about that, but he's saying that even the things that were in the chotzer at the beginning of Shabbos, we can't carry them around the chotzer. Rav might agree you could do that. He's just talking about that you can't carry things from the house into that when you have things that were in the house at the beginning of Shabbos, and then earlier on Shabbos, before the wall fell down, they were brought out to the chotzer. Now you can't carry them more than four amos in the chotzer. Maybe if you had something that was in the chotzer at the beginning of Shabbos, Rav would say it's fine to carry it all around the chotzer. Anyway, the question is,
why do you say it's a karmelis?
Well, not really a karmelis. The point is, in other words, that it's you can't carry in it more than four amos. In effect, it's like a karmelis. You're right. It's not literally a karmelis, but it's a chotzer shel rabim, which doesn't have a proper eruv in it.
Is the difference between the karmelis and the chotzer shel rabim would be that in one the karmelis you can or you cannot carry four amos?
You can't carry four amos in karmelis either. So when we say that you can't carry in it four amos, in effect it becomes like a karmelis. It may not be technically the definition lahalacha of a karmelis, but we'll learn about that in the next mission actually. But practically speaking, that's what it becomes. Anyway, the point is that Rav does not hold of the concept of Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra. We don't say because it was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, because the war was there, therefore it should remain mutter for all of that Shabbos. Rav doesn't hold of that, as we're going to see further along, there's actually a machlokas tanoim about that in the Mishnah at the bottom of Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay. Shmuel says that no, for the rest of that Shabbos, people can carry until the base of that wall, where the wall was, from either side. So the people in the one chatzer can carry all the way to where the wall was. They can't carry across it, of course, fine, because the two chatzeres didn't make a joint eruv. But they can carry all the way to the wall. Because Shmuel again holds that the halacha, when we say that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, we said a few days ago that Shmuel says even if each one made their own eruv, he's not concerned about the fact that in the chotzer you have kalim that were in the house versus kalim that were in the chotzer, and you may confuse one with the other. So in this particular case, since it was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos in each chotzer, because they did make an eruv for them to carry from their houses to the chotzer, so even now that the wall is down, they can still carry things from their houses to the chotzer and back, because Shabbos came in Jehotra Hotra. The Gemara points out, v'hoder Rav lav v'feirush itmar, this that we're saying, that Rav said that you can only carry four amos, Rav didn't actually say that explicitly. We can deduce it from something else that Rav did, or something else that Rav said. What was the story? Did Rav or Shmuel have a yasvi ba'ahu chotzer? One time, Rav and Shmuel were sitting in a certain chotzer on Shabbos. Nofo guda de beni beni. The wall between the chatzeres fell down. So now you have the exact scenario where you have the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Amalahu Shmuel. So Shmuel told the people, shkulu gima glima. Take a talis nigiduba and spread it out where the wall was. Now, so you have two issues over there. Number one, you're carrying the talis, and number two, you're making a mechitza, which, if especially if you're making a mechitza, that would make it mutter to carry again. Then you can't do that on Shabbos. So in other words, Shmuel held you're allowed to do that. Ahadrinu Rav la'ape. Rav turned his face away to show like he disapproves. Why? So therefore, we can see from the fact that Rav disapproved that he would hold that you can't carry in this chotzer, or that if you do put up a mechitza over there, then what you're accomplishing with that is you're making a mechitza which is going to make it mutter again to carry, and you can't make such a mechitza on Shabbos. Amalahu Shmuel, so Shmuel told the people as a little bit of a joke, E kofid Abba, if Abba is makbid, if he doesn't like this, we learned before that either Abba is Rav's real name, and therefore Shmuel as his chaver is calling him that, or just the opposite, that he's calling him Abba as a title of respect. Whatever it is, Shmuel is saying, if Rav is makbid, shkulu hem yonev k'tanu bey, take his belt and tie the talus in place with it. In other words, it's like a jokey way of saying, whether Rav likes it or not, we're going to do it. He may even end up helping out with it by contributing his belt towards the cause. But we see, therefore, that Rav disapproved. So the question is, will Shmuel lamaliha? Okay, if Shmuel is saying that you're allowed to bring the talus in the first place, meaning that you can carry it four amos, then what do you need to put up the talus anyway? Ha'amar zematat lad ikum mechitza v'zematat lad ikum mechitza. He just said that you could carry until where the wall was. So what do we need to put up a new mechitza for? The answer is Shmuel avad l'tzniyosa ba'alma. The answer is you're right. Shmuel wasn't saying you have to put it up, because without putting up that talus, you're not going to be able to carry. He just wanted the talus to be up there for tznius, like this, you know, all this time, the one chotzer had a wall between them and the other chotzer, and they were able to do things in private. Now all of a sudden they can't. So therefore, he wanted to put up a talus just for purposes of tznius, but not because it actually makes a difference lahalacha. Lahalacha, according to him, again, Shabbos kivin shehutra hutra, once it was mutter because it had the wall at the beginning of Shabbos, then it remains mutter for the rest of Shabbos. Okay, so the question is, what about Rav's opinion? V'Rav is virulei de osir leimalei. If Rav held that it's actually osir to do that, then why isn't he speaking up? Why is he just turning his face away? The answer is Asre de Shmuel Haba. The answer is this was Shmuel's place. This took place in Nahauda, where Shmuel was the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva, and therefore Rav is not going to interfere with, if Shmuel holds this way, then okay, you know, he may be entitled to hold this way, but I'm not going to approve of it. There is, by the way. I mean, if we were talking about a din d'oraisa, then we wouldn't say that. Then we wouldn't say we defer to the local Rav. Also, if it was something, if it was what's called toya b'dvar mishnah, if, for example, it was something that it said explicitly in a mishnah, or in modern terms, let's say if it's something that it says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch that it's also to do, then you don't say that. You defer to the Rav and let him pass skin as he wants. But here where it's not something that it says explicitly in a Mishnah or something, and something that depends on Shikul Hadas, it's something that depends on, you can see the logic one way or the other, whether you say Shabbos Kim and Jehotra Hotra. So Rav may not approve of it, but he's not going to go and protest against it. So the question is, if it's Shmuel's place, my time Adrin Olape, then why does Rav have to turn away his face b'chlal? Let him just stay looking over there, and okay, people will know he's not protesting because it's Shmuel's city, and Shmuel has the right to bask in over there. The answer is, because Rav, on the other hand, didn't want that people are going to think that he actually agrees with Shmuel and that he changed his mind. The Vahodabe Mishmaite is in parenthesis, by the way, because Marshal takes it out. He says, look, we didn't say before that Rav ever said this explicitly anyway. So what kind of Shmuel, what kind of statement of Rav is there for him to retract from? We're only deducing what Rav holds from this very story. But the point is, in other words, Rav didn't want people to mistakenly think that he holds like Shmuel. So therefore, he turned his face away as an expression, as a gesture of that, I don't agree with this, but he didn't actually say so because he didn't want to go openly against Shmuel, where it's Shmuel's city and he has the right to paskin according to his shitta. The halacha in the end is like Shmuel. We do say Shabbos came in Shehotra Hotra. First of all, we had a couple of Amiroyim before who said that. We have Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda had said that. And also maybe because since over here we're saying we don't even see that Rav explicitly held this way, we're just deducing it from the story, then that's not a solid enough reason to go against Shmuel's din. Okay. Mishnah says, Chotzer shenifritza l'rishus harabim. If a chotzer was broken open to Rishus HaRabim, now it can mean that one side was completely open. It can also mean, Rashi says, that you have a breach wider than 10 amos, which, as we've learned throughout the Masechta, is not considered a doorway anymore. So then, then Rabbi Yezer says, if you bring anything from Rishus HaRabim into that chotzer, or vice versa, you would be chayev. Because for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer considers this chotzer, or part of it at least, as we'll see in the Gemara, he considers it to be Rishus HaRabim. Now, how does a chotzer all of a sudden become Rishus HaRabim just because the wall fell down? That we're going to deal with in the Gemara. One thing is there's a Tosfos printed on the previous Amud, which goes to our Mishnah over here, Chayev Divir Rabbi Eliezer. And among other things, Tosfos points out the possibility that we might be talking about over here that all the mechitzas fell down. Besides, we're going to take up the possibility in the Gemara that we're talking about one mechitza and parts of the other ones fell down. Oh, good morning, Aaron. But there's also the possibility that we could be talking about all of them fell down, as we'll see. So Rabbi Eliezer says, therefore, it's considered Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it would be like any other Rishus HaRabim. You bring something from Rishus HaRabim, from Rishus HaYochid into it, or vice versa, you're going to be chayev. The Chum say no. If you take something between it and Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, Potter, because in effect this chotzer is now like a karmelis. And a karmelis, as we know, you can't be chayev for carrying something back and forth between it and Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid. Now, it's interesting that Rabbi Eliezer said the word Rishus HaYochid, Mitoicha L'Rishus HaYochid, Oy Mirishus HaYochid L'Toicha, and the Chumras are mentioning instead Mirishus HaRabim. Now, why is that? So, in fact, there is actually a girsa. There is one of the Rishonim, the Tosfos Rid, actually changes the girsa over here and says that by the Chachamim also it should be Rishus HaYochid. So then the Chachamim are saying the exact opposite of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. He's saying that if they carry from Rishus HaYochid into this chotzer, they're going to be chayev. And the Chachamim are saying, no, if you carry from Rishus HaYochid into it, you're only carrying from Rishus HaYochid to a karmelis, and therefore you're potter. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that we're gonna explain in the Gemara that the Rebbe Eliezer is specifically talking about the place where the mechitza was, that becomes Rishus Rabim. Therefore, he mentions if you carry from Rishus Yachatit, whereas the Chachamim are talking about the rest of the chatzer. Therefore they mention and they're stressing that even if all of the mechitzas fell down, don't think therefore that the whole thing becomes Rishus Rabim. No, the whole thing still remains a Carmelis. It was a Rishus Yachid before. Now, when all the walls fell down, it became, or enough of the walls fell down, now it became a Carmelis. Okay, but you're not chayev carrying from Rishus Yachid into Carmelis. So therefore they mention Rishus Rabim in order to stress that there's nothing left over here that can be considered Rishus Yachid. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. So the Gemara starts off. Rabbi Eliezer, mishum de nifritz al Rishus Rabim, havi al Rishus Rabim. What's the logic? Rabbi Eliezer is saying because the chotzer is completely broken open to Rishus Rabim, therefore all of a sudden it becomes a Rishus Rabim. The answer is ain. Yes, as a matter of fact, Rabbi Eliezer l'taimei. Rabbi Eliezer is going according to his svara. To Tanya, as we learn in a brisa in connection with dinei mamnis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabim Sheberu Derech La'atzman, if the Rabim pick themselves a path through somebody else's field, Ma Sheberu Beru, what they picked is considered a valid pick, and now they have a path through there, and you're not allowed to fence it in. So we see by the same token, so therefore when people are walking through an area, they make it a Rishus Rabim. The same thing, now that people are walking through this former chatzer, which now has a big breach in its wall, so now it can be considered a Rishus Rabim. So the Gemara says, Eini, still, is that so? Va'amar of Gidol Amar Rav, didn't Rav Gidol say in the name of Rav that rule about Rabim Sheberu Derech La'atzman is not an absolute rule? V'hu she'avdalahen Derech Ba'is Esada, that only works if they had previously lost a path through that field. In other words, at one point they had a path through that field. They lost track over the years where that path was. They know that there was a path through it. They just have forgotten where it was. So now they decided on their own, they decided spontaneously on their own, let's just pick this particular path and start walking on it. So then we say the fact that they originally had a path through that field entitles them to take some path, whether it happens to be the same one or not, and continue using it. But not if they never had one in the first place. They can't just, like we had earlier in the Masechta, we had the expression listim shekamecha kavshua, that thieves like you have made this path through the field where they were just going through illegally. So the same thing over here then, it should only work if they actually previously had a path through this chatzer. It shouldn't work otherwise. So why is Rabbi Eliezer saying that the chatzer is considered a Rishus Rabim? So you're going to answer, okay, maybe you're actually talking about that they actually had a path through that chatzer. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they actually had a path going literally from one end of the chatzer through the other. I mean, some of the mafoshim do understand it that way, but Rashi over here explains that's not exactly what it means. What it means is it's impossible to tell anymore where the mechitza was. So you have an argument between the balabas, or between the people who have the chatzer and the people who walk in Rishus Rabim. This particular area, was it part of where the mechitza was, or was it always part of Rishus Rabim? So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is talking about that area. So are you going to talk about that? It's talking about that where you have an argument where they don't know where the wall was to begin with. Didn't Rav Chanina say that the machlokes is up to the place of the mechitzas? Meaning, in other words, that it sounds like we're saying the entire chatzer, the chachamim are saying is Carmelis, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying is Rishus Rabim. So just the opposite. It sounds like the chachamim are agreeing with Rabbi Eliezer when it comes to the place where the mechitza was, that fine, since there's no mechitza there anymore, then therefore that particular area counts as an extension of Rishus Rabim. But, and they're only arguing about the whole rest of the chatzer. Whereas according to what you're saying, it sounds like even Rabbi Eliezer shouldn't say that the entire rest of the chatzer is a Rishus Rabim, only the area where the wall was. So the answer is Ema al Makam Mechitza Machlokas. You have to change Rabbi Chanina, you have to change Rabbi Chanina's expression a little bit. Not that the argument is up to the place of the wall, but on the place of the wall. Al instead of ad. So the machlokas is up to the is regarding the place of the mechitza exactly like we said. In other words, that the Bnei Rosh Hashanah say your mechitza of your chatzur used to be further in, and therefore this area that you're claiming as part of your chatzur has actually always been part of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore we're going to continue walking in it, and it's considered Rosh Hashanah. And the other people from the chatzur are arguing that no, this is where our wall was, and therefore it still counts as part of our chatzur. So that's one way of explaining the machlokas then. So they're not in fact arguing about the rest of the chatzer. They're only Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. They're only arguing about the actual area where the wall was. Another possibility is you could say that we are talking about where we know for a fact where the walls were. So there's no argument about where the walls were. We're not talking, also Tosfos says, we're not talking about Avdalahem Derech, that there ever was a time when they claimed this area to be part of Rosh Hashanah. But we're talking about that it's the area next to Rosh Hashanah. Is that considered like Rosh Hashanah? As we've learned before, you often have an area next to Rosh Hashanah, which is not, it's not part of the main Rosh Hashanah. It actually belongs to the people on the side. However, it's very common they don't actually build their walls all the way until Rosh Hashanah. They often leave a little bit of space over there, like a sidewalk kind of. And therefore, what happens is people end up using that. So is that actually considered part of Rosh Hashanah or not? So Rabbi Eliezer will hold that those areas are also considered Rosh Hashanah, even though they're actually inside of the property line, because the person doesn't usually build over there. Therefore, it can be and people are able to walk there. Therefore, it is considered part of Rosh Hashanah for all purposes of Hilchas Shabbos. And therefore, if you took something from Rosh Hashanah and put it into that area, then you'd be chayev. The Chum hold but not. So in this particular case, so we are talking about over here a wall fell down. Again, because if the wall didn't fall down, for sure you can carry in the chatzer as long as you make an eruv, no question about that. But again, the case is the wall fell down. The area where the wall was is now, in effect, Sidur Rosh Hashanah. It's now like an extension of Rosh Hashanah. So now the question becomes, is that now part of Rosh Hashanah for purposes of Hilchas Shabbos or not? Okay, so the question is, v'liflig b'tzidur Rosh Hashanah ba'alma. In that case, why is the Mishnah presenting the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim only in this odd case where the mechitza of the chatzer fell down? Why not present their argument more generally about tzidur Rosh Hashanah, that Rabbi Eliezer would say it's Rosh Hashanah and the Chachamim would say that it's karmelis? The answer is, if we found them arguing about that in general and not about our specific case, have amrinan, then we would have thought like this. You know, when the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and say that these tzidir Rosh Hashanah are not like Rosh Hashanah, only when there are chifufi on the sides. We've learned before that like this. What you do is like this. You have your wall facing out towards Rosh Hashanah, the wall of your house or your chatzer or whatever. You don't want that people should walk right next to the wall. In particular, you don't want wagons, for example, to be going right next to the wall, because then they're going to bump into it and weaken it. So what do? So you put into the ground, between your wall and the main part of Rosh Hashanah, enclosing the city of Rosh Hashanah, you put in large pegs or large stones into the ground, like kind of like we have nowadays in front of some buildings. You have these bollards, you have these metal or stone or whatever pillars that they put into the ground in front of some places so that if a car goes out of control, it can't smash through them. So the chifufim that we're talking about over here are similar to that. So then we would say, in a regular case, you have chifufim. So then you would say, that's why the Chachamim would say it's not real Rosh Hashanah, because you actually have something marking it off from the main Rosh Hashanah, that you have these chifufim over there that you put over there in order to prevent people from getting too close to your wall. So the area between the chifufim and the actual wall would be Tzidir Rosh Hashanah, and that's what the Chachamim say would be considered not Kir Rosh Hashanah. But where there are no chifufi, like our case over here where a wall fell down and it's and there's nothing marking. I mean, okay, you know where the wall was, but nevertheless, there's no actual physical things in the ground over there to mark off that this area, be careful that you don't get closer to the wall. Amamodule, so you would say maybe they agree with Rabbi Eliezer that should be considered part of a Shas Rabim. Kamash Malan, that is why our Mishnah had to present their machlokas specifically about the case where the wall fell down and there's no chifufi, and even then the Chachamim disagree and say it's not Shas Rabim, it's Kaimalis. Okay. So the question is, okay, but the problem with all that is, so we're saying that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing in the end only about the area where the wall was. In that case, then, why is Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah using the expression, why is he using the word toicha if, according to him, the whole machloikas is, if according to him, the whole machloikas, the whole, if we're saying so far, the whole machloikas is when it is about the area where the wall was. That's not toicha. The answer is, the answer is, okay, the Chachamim are using the word mitoicha because, according to them, in fact, the whole chotzer, including the inside of it, is kaimelis. Rabbi Eliezer wants to stress that there's a certain part of it that he considers Rosh Hashanah, so he uses the expression mitoicha as well, even though according to him, it's inexact. It means just the area where the wall was. So then the question is, okay, well, then we have to ask the other way around. Why are the Chachamim using the word mitoicha? If, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the whole point over here is just the question of tzidir rishos rabim, why are the Chachamim, why b'chla would the Chachamim be using the word mitoicha? Let Rabbi Eliezer say chotzer shenifetz l'rishos rabim hamachnes mimakim hamechitza, or something to that effect, from the place where the mechitza was to rishos rabim, etc. And the Chachamim will answer him back that no, we hold that area as timeless. If they're not arguing about mitoicha at all, then why are the Chachamim even mentioning the word mitoicha? The answer is, it means like this. The Chachamim are saying as follows to Rabbi Eliezer. Wouldn't you agree with us that as far as the rest of the chotzer, it's not Rosh Hashanah, it's Kaimelis, and therefore if you carry something between Rosh Hashanah and it, then you're going to be potter. Shouldn't the same thing be as far as the tzideh, the fourth side where the wall fell down? So that's why they're mentioning mitoicha, because they're using that as the basis of their argument that there should be no difference. And Rabbi Eliezer would answer to that, there's a big difference. Because in that case, the rabbim are not stepping into the chotzer. Yes, it's completely open to Rosh Hashanah, but people are not regularly going out of their way to go into the chotzer. Over here, the actual area where the wall fell down, people are actually walking over it, and that's more reason to distinguish it from the rest of the chotzer and call it Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos actually points out when we say that the wall fell down, it has to be then, in order for the scenario that we're talking about over here, it has to be also that the ends of the walls that touch that wall also fell down, which I guess is a natural thing. Anyway, when a wall falls down, you usually don't just have that it falls neatly at the corner over there. So some of the other walls on the one side and the other also crumbled away, and therefore what you actually have is that the area where this mechitza was is not even within the original walls. Because if it was within the original walls, then even Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't necessarily call it Rosh Hashanah. But over here, it's actually outside any walls at this point, so therefore, yeah. You have Bechlal, by the way, there's a Machlokas Rishonim, which we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta. Are three walls around an area enough to make it a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, and only Midrabanan? Do we need a fourth one? Or is it that three by itself would be a Kaimelis? So if we say over here that, if we say over here that you need that So what are we saying over here? That once it has three walls, the Chachamim are saying that it's a caramelist, that would be Deraisa or Derabanan, as the case may be. Okay. Mishnah says, Chotzer shenifritza l'rshosarabim m'shtei ruchosel. Oh, so by the way, how does this relate to the whole thing of Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra that we said before? The answer is, we say Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra when we're saying that there's, when we're saying, we can say it, for example, when there's a machitza between the chatzeros, because the fact is, even now, the chatzeros are still surrounded completely by machitzas. All it is there was supposed to be a machitza between the two chatzeros, and they'd made separate eruvin, and now that machitza fell down, and now we have to talk about it. Do their separate eruvin still work, or would they have to join in one big eruv now? But at least you still have the mechitzas around there. There we can say Shabbos kivin shahutra rahutra. As we said yesterday, we can say all you have in effect is that nitosfu diyurin. You have new people came and are living in this chotzer for Shabbos. But over here, when you have it's broken open, chudah shosarabim, then that's different. Then we don't say Shabbos kivin shahutra rahutra because the actual mechitzas themselves that mark off the area are now down partially or completely. It could even be completely, as we said. Tosfos said that even if all of the walls of the chotzer fell down, it would never become a rishus rabim; it would only become a karmelis, according to them. Okay, Mishnah says, chotzer shenifritzal rishus rabim mishtei ruchoseha. If a chotzer was broken open to rishus rabim from two sides on Shabbos, we're talking about now. On the face of it, when we say on two sides, it sounds like we're saying at one end and at the other end, so that all you have now left is two parallel walls. We'll see in the Gemara whether, in fact, that's what it means. Similarly, a house that was broken open at both ends, on two sides. Again, we'll see whether it means both ends or whether it means two adjacent sides. Similarly, a mavoi where the koira or lechi was removed or fell down on Shabbos. Mutorim, but oisei Shabbos v'asurim la'asid lavei divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will say it's still mutter for that Shabbos because again Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra, and he will apply that even over here where the mechitzas fell down and now the area is not as enclosed as it was before. Is that divrei v'asurim la'asid lavei? But it's also for future Shabbosim unless they fix it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says no, that's not logical. If you're going to tell me they're mutter for that Shabbos, then they ought to be mutter on an ongoing basis, even on future Shabbosim. And the imasurin lasa lave asurin loisa Shabbos. If they're going to be also on future Shabbosim, they have to be also on this Shabbos as well. In other words, he doesn't hold of Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra. The Gemara is going to end up explaining that Rabbi Yossi is being machmir. He's saying you obviously can't be mater on future Shabbosim because there once was a mechitza over here, or there once was a lechi or koda over here. Therefore, on future Shabbosim, it has to be osir, and on this Shabbos also, it has to be osir because there's no such thing as Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra, according to him. In the previous Mishnah, we didn't specify whether it's on Shabbos. But Pashtos, I suppose it could be either way. If we say Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra, then okay. So Rabbi Eliezer might not hold of Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra, and also, it could be that, or it could be we're talking about it fell down before Shabbos. Yeah. But here we're specifying. Here Rashi specifies that we're talking about it fell on Shabbos. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. But my askinim. What is the scenario that we're talking about? We were saying that the chotzer or the house was broken on both, on two sides. Mishtei ruchosav. E lema be'eser. Are we talking about that the breach is up to and including 10 amos, which is still considered a Pesach? Well then, maishna meruach achas. So what would be the problem if you have, so why are we saying the Mishnah then would not be mentioning on one side, da'amrinan pishahu, then we can say up to 10 amos can be considered a Pesach, and therefore it doesn't ask us to carry in that area. Then in that case, mishtei ruchas nami pishahu. Wouldn't you say this? Same thing if it's on both sides also. So what? It's still Pesach on each side. If we're talking about it's on the two ends, okay, so you have a Pesach on each end. What's the problem? You can still carry in there. Ela b'yoyse me'eser. So are we talking about the breach is wider than 10 amos? Then wouldn't you have the same problem? Wouldn't you have the same problem even if it was only on one side? So why is the Mishnah Dafka mentioning on two sides? Now, Tosfos points out that you could say that we have also the point that we've learned previously about parutz meruba ala omed, that if you have a chotzer that you have more open area than closed area, then we said you need a pas dalid, you need a board four tefachim wide on that side, or you need a mashahu on both sides. So therefore, so we can answer very simply. If it was on one side, that would still work, but when it's on two sides, that wouldn't work. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is that here the question is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is telling us it's mutter for that Shabbos, but why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do we need that for? Rabbi Yehuda anyway holds that two mechitzes is enough for it to be mutter daraisa. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, it should be mutter for subsequent Shabbosim as well, not just for that Shabbos. Also, Tosfos says, usually what do you have? A chotzer usually has only three full mechitzes. Then on the fourth side, it's mostly open and it has a pas dalet or two mashahuyim. Now, if you have breaches on the two sides, on the opposite sides, we're assuming, of those three mechitzes, then you have a problem. Then you have a problem. So because now you don't even have your full three mechitzes. By the way, in the Mishnah we have the expression chotzer shenifritz al lirshus harabim, and Rashi also says that it means lirshus harabim. However, Tosfos points out that we're actually not necessarily talking about over here. It's broken into lirshus harabim. Broken into lirshus harabim, that would be the machlokes in the previous Mishnah. Here we're talking about it's broken to another chotzer or to a mavoi. So now the question becomes, so it's not open to Rosh Hashanah. So now the question becomes, is it mutter for that Shabbos? But we could be talking about again that the Gemara is assuming that the breaches are on both opposite sides. But now the question is, why do you need Davka both sides for it to be also? It would be, if it was more than 10 amos, it would be also even if it was only on one side. So the answer is Amar Rav L'Olam Be'eser. Rav says, in fact, the breaches of our Mishnah are 10 amos wide, so they should count as Pesach. But the case is, it's not, we're assuming that there were two walls, one opposite the other, that were breached open. No, what we're saying is the two walls are actually two walls adjacent to one another at a corner. People do not make an opening in a keren zavis in a corner. Therefore, we can't say that it's considered a pesach. Therefore, we can't say it's considered a pesach. So that would be the case over here.
This is exactly word for word of yesterday's Perek Echad of Rambam. It's amazing.
Oh, really? Okay. So that's why it doesn't count as a Pesach, even if it's narrower than 10 amos. Okay. So in other words, if this breach had only been on one side, there wouldn't be a problem because it's up to 10 amos wide and it counts as a Pesach. But now that it's in a corner, then it doesn't count as a Pesach at all. Therefore, you can't carry in that chotzer. Okay, then we said v'chein bayis shenifratz mishtei ruchosav. Now let's talk about a house. We said in the Mishnah, if a house was broken in from both sides. So again, we have to ask Maishna Miruach Achas. Now, why would it be different if it was only on one side? The Mishnah is not mentioning that. Damunin pi tikri yod v'soisim. Now we say if it's only broken on one side, we can say pi tikri yod v'soisim. The opening of it can come down and create a virtual wall over there. And Tosfos argues that could mean even if it was more than 10 amos, even if it was the entire side. On the face of it, P-Tikra should work. Why don't we say the same thing on two sides? Amri Dvei Rav Mishmei De Rav. So again, they answered in the yeshiva of Rav, in the name of Rav, Kugan Shenifratz B'Keren Zovis. The case is, again, where the breach is in a corner. V'kiruyei Ba'alachsan. And you have, now why don't we say Pitikra? Because the roof is Baalachsan. Now Rashi and Tosfos here understand Baalachsan in two different ways. Rashi understands it that it means that the roof is a pitched roof. We've learned a number of times that Rashi holds that a pitched roof, we don't say pitiko yod vesosim. An interesting reason why that would be. What's the logic that we shouldn't say pitiko yod vesosim with a pitched roof? Rishonim say because a flat roof, what do you have? The ends of the boards that make up the roof go straight up and down. Therefore, we can consider them as though we pull them down and we make a wall over there. As opposed to a pitched roof, the ends of them are on an angle. So you don't really have something that you can pull down to make a wall. Well, they're made out of straw, actually. So we had before, we had a Tosfos earlier that quoted Rashi as saying that they have to be at least, that it has to be at least a tefach thick. So that's another, but here we're talking about it's a pitched roof. Anyway, so Rashi explains because if it had been a flat roof, then even in the corner, we could have said pitiko yod vesosim, but because the roof is pitched, therefore we can't say that. Tosfos learns, as you can see the diagram in Tosfos, that no, what we mean is the roof at that corner also crumbled away, and now you have the roof itself, the line of the roof goes on an angle between the end of one wall and the end of the other. We don't say pitiko yod vesosim on such a thing because then again it's an opening bekeren zavis, and people don't do that. You have, by the way, a machlokas rishonim within that. What would happen between the Razor and the Rashba and others? What would happen if the two walls on the corner crumbled away and you actually had the ceiling over them was still left intact? Suppose that the ceiling was still left intact. So then, would we say pitiko yod resosim or not? So in fact, the Ravid holds we would not. Because the fact is, you don't have walls over there. So Rashi himself is only saying because the roof is pitched, right? So Rashi might hold if the roof itself is flat and it's still intact over where those breaches were, then it might work. On the other hand, so according to the Ravid, even then it wouldn't work. On the other hand, there are Rishonim, I think the Rashba and others that talk about that maybe in that case it would work. And the problem is only when, like Tosfos says, the roof crumbles away and you only have the roof itself is in a corner there. It is on a diagonal there. Okay. So then, Delek Lamema, Pitiko Yod Vesosim. So you don't say Pitiko Yod Vesosim in that kind of scenario, says Rav. Shmuel says that no, the Mishnah is talking about that the Mishnah, Shmuel is referring back to the Chotzer. As we're going to see in a second, Shmuel holds that by the house, it doesn't have to be that it's only on one side. So he says, even if the breach is more than 10, The Mishnah has to be talking about where it's 10 or more than 10, and the reason why it's mentioning two sides is the reason why it's mentioning two sides is because only in that case would you have a problem. If you only had on one side, then in fact we could say pitiko yod vesosim, or in the case of a chotzer, that we would say the fact is you still have four mechitzas over there. So the question is, yihochim yiruach achas nami. Okay, but so you're saying that afilu b'yosim e'eser, referring to the chotzer, why taka would it be also only if it was on two sides? Now he's not saying a corner like Rav says. He's talking about it's actually opposite sides. So according to him, wouldn't you have the same problem if it's only on one side and it's more than 10 amos? The reason is, you're right, Mishum Bais. The reason the Mishnah mentions that it's on two sides is in order to be parallel with the case of the house. A chotzer, in other words, Shmuel would say, you're right, even if the breach was only on one side, then already the chotzer would be also to carry in. But because the Mishnah is mentioning a chotzer and a house, and with a house, as we're going to say in a second, you have to have the breaches on two sides in order for it to be also, therefore mentioned two sides with a chotzer as well, even though in fact the same din would apply to a chotzer that was breached on one side as well. So the question is, Bais Gufei Tikshi. Okay, well then you have to ask the question on the house itself. Maishna Meruach Achas Damin Pitiko Yod Vesosim. So what are we saying? If it's from one side, then we say that it's not also to carry in the house because pitiko yod vesosim mi beiz ruchas nami name a pitiko yod vesosim. Shouldn't we say that just as well on two sides? So we're back to the question. According to Shmuel, why is the Mishnah Dafka mentioning both sides? By the Chotzer, it's not even relevant because it's already also once it's breached on one side more than 10 amos. By the house, it should work. It should be mutter whether it's breached on one side or two sides. We should still say Pitikur Yerid V'Soisim. So what's going on? So the answer is, and the Gemara says, but true. And furthermore, before we even answer that question, me Israel the Shmuel Pitiku Yod Vesoisim, would Shmuel actually even hold that Pitiku Yod Vesoisim works in such a case when you have a breach wider than 10 amos, that by a house you would still say Pitiku would still work? Well, Itmar, we have a discussion about a case, Achsadra Babika. If you have an achsadra in a valley, we learned about this earlier in the perek. So you have, it's in a valley. In other words, it's open. Rashi learns over here and earlier that the achsadra is open on all four sides. And it's in a valley in the sense that there are no mechitzas anywhere nearby. Rav Amar Mutal Talta Bakula. Rav says you're allowed to carry in the whole thing. Or Shmuel Amar Ein Metaltlin Ba'alav Dalav Amas. Shmuel says you can only carry up to four amas in it because Rav says Pitiko Yod Vesosim even on all four sides. And Shmuel says that no, we don't say Pitiko Yod Vesosim on all four sides. So we see, in other words, that Shmuel does not. So Shmuel does not hold that of Pitiko Yod Vesosim in cases like that. So why all of a sudden would he be saying over here with a house? So with a house over here, it seems that he doesn't hold a particular yod v'soisim at all. The answer is holei kasha ki lesle b'dalad avav b'sholish isle. The answer is that's not a problem. Shmuel holds you can't say particular yod v'soisim on all four sides. With this achsadra, it's completely open on all four sides. You want to say particular on all four sides? He's not going to say that. But b'sholish. But if you only need to say it on three sides or fewer. In other words, it has at least one mechitza that's good, then he would say it's kosher. So fine, then in that case, so in the case of our Mishnah, so you have a house that's breached open on one side, so fine, Shmuel would say Pitikur Yod Vesosim, so we're good. Now, Tosfos learns the scenario differently. Tosfos does not learn, among other things, Tosfos points out that an achsadra, usually in Shas, an achsadra does not mean that it's open on all four sides. It usually means just the opposite, that's closed in on three sides and open partially on the fourth. So Tosfos understands the scenario with the achsadra here exactly the opposite. They understand that the achsadra is closed in on, okay, you don't have a picture of it over here, but they understand that the achsadra is closed in on three sides. It's closed in on three sides. It's open on the fourth. So it's completely open on the fourth. So Rav is going to say, that's fine. We can still say Pitikra on the completely open fourth side. Shmuel is going to say that only if that fourth side is a little bit closed in, then we can say Pitikra for the rest of it. But not where it's completely open. So the same thing over here with the house that we're talking about then. So if the house is breached only on one side, as long as it's not the whole side, then we can still say Pitikur Yod Vesosim. If it's completely breached on that side, let alone on two sides, then already Shmuel would say we can't say that. We'll talk about that there. I don't think it mentions an Achsadra there. I think it mentions Induruno, which is something else, but we'll see about that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara says Mikol Makom Ka, and so therefore, the understanding of Ki Lesle B'Dalad Al B'Sholosh Isle, it's actually the Girsa would be the other way around, that he doesn't hold of it when that the Girsa would be he doesn't hold of it when there are mechitzas on only three sides. He holds a Pitikra when there's a partial mechitza on the fourth side. So the exact opposite of the Girsa we have in the Gemara. The Girsa we have in front of us means that he wouldn't hold, you can apply Pitikra to four walls, but he holds you can apply it to three walls. The Girsa the other way around would mean he doesn't hold, you can apply it when there are three complete walls. He only holds you can apply it when you have the beginning of a fourth wall. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mikol Makom Kasha. Okay, but you're still left with a Kasha. Why don't we say Pitikra Yod Vesosim on two sides? And we can't be talking about where the roof over here is pitched, because then, of course, we wouldn't have Pitikra even on the one side, or that it was a breach. So the answer is We can answer the same answer that they used to answer Rav before about the chotzer that we're talking about. It was broke, or about the house that it was broken at a corner, and the roof is balachson, pitched according to Rashi at an angle according to Tosfos. Hachanami, the same thing. Shmuel will also answer. Here we have a different scenario. Now, according to Rav, it was enough to say that it was a diagonal breach, and that's good enough. That two walls and the corners fell down, and like Rashi says, that the roof is pitched, or like Tosfos says, that the remaining roof is at an angle, and that's good enough. And that's good enough to not apply Pitikra. Shmuel is not going to accept that. Shmuel is going to have to say the kiruye ba'arba. The case is that part of the kirui, part of the wall, fell down at a distance of four tfachim from the remaining walls. So the scenario is going to be as follows. The picture is going to be as follows. Let's say, for example, the north wall and the east wall fell down. So now you have a Pesach Bekeren Zavis. Now, in addition, what you have is the ceiling for a distance of four tfachim from each of those walls also fell in. So you have a strip along each side that fell in. And then what you have is the remaining. So Rashi himself gives a diagram. You can see the diagram in Rashi shows like a bird's eye view of it. You have a 3D view. You have a 3D view. I'll show quickly over here. So the one wall together with four tfachim of ceiling next to it fell down, and the same thing the other wall, and the remain what you have left is five amos in each direction for a total of 10 amos. Now, actually, Tosfos points out that really in that case you only have seven amos because you have a diagonal of 5 by 5 is really only 7 amos. So Tosfos says Rashi is not medayik, meaning, in other words, according to Rashi, we would have to understand that we're actually talking about the breaches are wider than 5 amos, let's say. We would have to maybe say that there's 7 amos and 7 amos, let's say, in order to have a diagonal of 10. Whatever the point is, now you have a Pesach wider than 10 amos. You have that. So now, if we want to say Pitik or Yod Vesosim, you would have to say it on four different areas, because you would have to say it on the four tfachim in from the one wall and from the other wall, as well as along the 5 amos on the one wall and on the remainder of the ceiling on one side and on the other. And that's too much to say already Pitik or Yod Vesosim with all of that. We already said before that Shmuel doesn't hold a Pitik or Yod Vesosim when you have to do it four different times. So that. Four different times, because you have 1, 2, 3, 4, the four parts of the steps over here. You have in the picture over here in Rashi, the area over here in Rashi labeled Dalad, Hey Va'od, and Dalad. So you'd have to apply Pitikur Yod Vesosim to each one of them, and Shmuel says you can't do that. So that's why Shmuel would say that. So Shmuel would say that's the scenario when we're saying that it's also to carry in this house. But in fact, if the breaches were on opposite walls of the house, we could very well see Pitikur Yod Vesosim on both sides. And if it was a case where we can't say Pitikra, then it would apply just as well on one side. okay. By the way, this is that Tosfos is saying that Rashi wasn't Medayik. We have talked about in the Masechta before a possibility that's brought up that maybe even now we've had a number of times in our Masechta where Rashi treats a diagonal as though it's the equal to the sums of the two sides, which of course is not mathematically correct. But we had, for example, a case on Daf Ayin Ches, for example, involving a ladder where the feet of the ladder were 4 tfachim away from the wall, and the wall itself is 10 tfachim tall, and Rashi used the expression of that the ladder has to be 14 tfachim tall. Now, mathematically, that doesn't work. Mathematically, the diagonal of 4 by 10 is only about 11 and something. So one possibility is that maybe in certain cases, Rashi holds, even though, of course, mathematically, the diagonal is smaller than two sides, la halacha, we have to act as though it wasn't. La halacha, we have to act as though the diagonal is the sum of the two sides, la chumra. Right, so if you're counting the steps. So in this case, in other words, Rashi might say the fact that you have 5 amos and 5 amos over here, or actually 5 amos of oid in order to have it slightly more than 10 amos, whatever, even though, like Tosfos says, mathematically, the diagonal of it would be a lot less, but as a matter of halacha, we would still treat it as an opening 10 amos wide, l'chumra, or more than 10 amos wide, l'chumra.
Shows
Yeah, but again, remember, when we say on the step, remember, we're talking about, this is a bird's eye view. This is a looking down on the house after the wall crumbled away. Right, right. That's the point. So one step is five, and one step is five void. Right. So that's the thing. Tosfos is pointing out, if you were to draw a line from the edge of the remaining wall to the edge... Yeah. So Tosfos points out the diagonal from the corner of the one, from the corner of the wall where it's remaining to the one. So that's the thing. Tosfos says it's only seven mathematically, but Rashi is calling it 10 because it's 5 plus 5, right?
Like if I say go from here to
okay.
here,
okay. Yeah.
You're going to go. 10,
yeah. Okay. Right. Okay.
You can't cut a line.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. But here you. Right, okay. Okay. So again, so Rashi might be saying that even though physically there is an alachsin here, and we could have measured the doorway along that, we don't do that. Instead, we measure it along the edges of the walls. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Shmuel loy omer karav. Now we have to ask. So we have two different understandings of the case over here in our Mishnah involving the house. We have Rav saying, talking about that it was broken b'keren zavis v'kiruye ba'alachson, and we have Shmuel saying it was broken b'keren zavis, and the roof is broken in the stepwise way that we said. So why do they disagree? Shmuel loy omer karav. Shmuel can't agree with Rav because alachson like katani. Because after all, it didn't say anything about alachson. If the point is that you can't say particular because the roof is pitched, or because the remaining roof over there that's left after the walls crumbled away is on a diagonal, then it should have said that, because then the ikur chosim and a sefer, then an essential point is missing. The Rav loy amak Shmuel. Conversely, Rav can't say like Shmuel. Imkain have yuleach sadra, because after all, if you have the case that Shmuel is talking about, where it crumbled away, it like steps like that, and therefore you have four different places where you need to do pitikra, no problem. That would be like an achsadra. But Rav l'taimei d'omar achsadra mutal l'tal t'bekula. We just said that Rav holds that even an achsadra, you're allowed to carry in the whole thing. That the itmar achsadra bika Rav am mutal l'tal t'bekula or Shmuel am ein metaplan b'al ba'amamis. Because Rav Amar Mutal L'Tal T'Bekula Amrinan Pitikur Yod V'Soisim, because Rav holds that we say Pitikur Yod V'Soisim according to Rashi on all four sides, according to Tosfos on the fourth open side. Shmuel Amar in Metaltlan Rav Amar Amas. Shmuel says you can only carry four Amas in it because you can't apply Pitikur Yod V'Soisim on all four sides, or according to Tosfos on one whole side. We go like in general in these kinds of things, we go like Rav. Earlier we had at the beginning of Amunah, we had it on Amun Aleph. We said that we had Rav and Shmuel argue about Shabbos Kivin Shehutra Hutra, and we said even Rav didn't explicitly say so. Yeah, but in general. Rav Amar Mutal L'Tal T'Bekula Amrinan Pitikur Yod V'Soisim, because again, Rav says you can apply Pitikur Yod V'Soisim on all the sides or on one whole side. Shmuel Amar Ein Metaltlan B'Al Ba'amamis Lo Amrinan Pitikur Yod V'Soisim. Whereas Shmuel says that not, you can't apply it on all four sides or in all four places, like Rashi is saying over here. You need that the side where you're going to apply it is itself not completely open. According to Rashi, you need that you can only apply it on three sides, and according to Tosfos, you can't apply it on one complete open side. So according to him, there's no way of understanding that. So according to him, it wouldn't work to say that we're talking about that. So again, Rav can't agree with Shmuel because according to him, you would actually be able to do Pitikur Yod V'Soisim over here. Therefore, Rav is forced to say that we're talking about Baal Lachsen, even though the Mishnah didn't mention the point about Alachsen. Okay. So we'll continue this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Shkoyach, everyone.